車内で忘れ物ないようお手回りに持ってください。
Hey there, good morning. It's Switch Pav. Hello from Japan.com. Just got off the train at Shinjuku. And today what I got to talk about is last night. I actually did something other than commute between work and home for the first time in a long time. I went to Shibuya. And if anyone has seen the movie Lost in Translation, there's a quick scene where the woman, I forget her name, she's out walking around Tokyo, going for a walk. And there's a scene where she's in front of a big building where there's a huge TV screen. There's a dinosaur walking across it. I think it was also on the movie poster. Well, that building is the Staya store. Staya in Shibuya, and Staya is a chain of stores that sells books and rents CDs and videos, and their flagship store is in Shibuya. It's about 6 or 8 floors or so, and on the 6th floor they have a cafe, like a cyber cafe. Well, it's got a little restaurant with a couple of Mac laptops attached to the internet on one side, and that's where I met Kanako. I think her name's Kanako. I can't think of it. Anyway, the woman from Yamaha Music. I'm drawing a blank here. Kanako Tokura-san. And she's the woman who's promoting iCube, or Ice Cube. She's also promoting about 9 or 10 other bands. So we met and we talked about podcasting. She hadn't really heard anything about podcasting. She's really not that much into the internet. She said she has an iPod, but it's broken. So maybe she hasn't used the iPod since the podcasting site was added to the iTunes store. So she had no idea what it was all about. And I talked to her about it and explained to her how it works. Showed her some websites, websites in Japan for podcasting. There's podcastjuice.jp, which is run by Nifty. And that's the access ISP that's run by Fujitsu. They've been doing networking even before the internet was around in Japan. They had a BBS, which I used to use before the internet came around. And now they have that podcasting site. And a lot of the podcasts that are the most popular in Japan originate from that site. And we looked at that site. I showed her... What else? I showed her the PodSafe Music Network. Showed her CD Baby. We talked about licensing. We talked about all of the things, all of the legal obstacles to playing licensed music on podcasts. And there are a lot of them. Well, you think the RIAA is scary, you should see Jazzrak. Jazzrak really has a stranglehold on the music industry here. Any CD that you buy, or any video, DVD that you rent or buy, they always have a Jazzrak seal on them, or a seal or a stamp that shows that it's been officially licensed. Even music websites that sell downloads in Japan have a Jazzrak sticker on them. And she says, you know, even to them, Jazzrak is pretty scary. So you don't want to mess with them. What she did say that was interesting was that by law, you're allowed to play 45 seconds of a song without having to pay a license. So that was her first recommendation. Well, how about you just play 45 seconds of a song? I said, you know, no one's gonna want to hear 45 seconds of a song. That's just, I don't know. That just feels like advertising instead of playing music for enjoyment. And I said, you know, if that's all we can do, honestly, I'll just use independent music. So we started thinking of other ideas. I said, well, what if I talk over the beginning and the end of the songs? She said, yeah, that'll work. That'll be okay. And I said, well, what about other podcasts? Can they play the songs? Yeah, as long as they talk over the beginning and the end. And I said, well, I can't force them to do that. So what we figured out was we might put some songs up on the PodSafe Music Network that already have the talking at the beginning of the end, and she's going to do that. So the song will start, and then there will be, I guess, her saying, you're listening to Yamaha music recording artist so-and-so, and you can buy this CD at so-and-so. So I guess what we're going to do is find out some artists that she's in charge of promoting. I'm going to get my... walking towards the subway entrance here. Got to get out my pass. And put up a few tunes in the PodSafe Music Network that have been specially prepared. Like I suggested, make them available through CD Baby. And she also might be able to get them through CD Baby, might be able to get them into some of the downloading sites like iTunes and Rhapsody and MSN Music and Yahoo. Probably missing one or two there. And hopefully this will go pretty well. I don't know what the other bands that she promotes sounds like. What she did say that was pretty surprising is Ice Cube is definitely not on the fast track to stardom at Yamaha Music. She says, you know, there aren't too many other people at the company who think that they're going to, you know, be successful. That they only have a short one-off contract with Yamaha Music right now, and that was just to make the three-song CD Antenna. Oh, I should talk about that too. And they've sold about 1,000 copies of that, and they would have to sell about 4,000 more to be considered for a larger contract and to be plugged into the, you know, the money-making machine where they're promoted and all that stuff. They have a CD that they put out when they were still independent, and there's about 100 copies of that left. So I think that's what we're going to sell through CD Baby. And one of the things she first talked about was she was surprised to find out that there were those websites that were selling copies of Antenna. Was it Play? I don't remember the names of the sites right now. Play Asia and Yes something. Yes Asia and Play Asia maybe. Whatever. Anyway, she asked me, well, how did they get copies of that CD? And I said, I was going to ask you that. You know, how come you didn't know about it? And she said, you know what? I'm in charge of counting how many CDs have been made and how many CDs have been sold. And I can't figure out how they got those CDs. I said, well, that's interesting. How could that be? And she said, well, one possibility is that they're selling pirated CDs. And she said, you know, that site, I tried to order it, but you can't order it from Japan. You can only order from overseas. So we looked at that site, and I don't know why it looked like that to her, but I was able to figure out how to order it from Japan in yen. So I think she's going to do that and check out the copy that she receives and see if it's pirated or not. Another possibility is they got it through a wholesaler, which is quite possible. The Yes Asia site, the one that a couple of people mentioned they've used and have had good experiences with, They have a branch in Japan, so it's quite possible that, that they're working through a distributor and selling legal copies. But that other site, Play Asia, we're not too sure about yet. So that's some pretty interesting drama right there. Ice Cube has a live show February 11th, which is a Saturday, so I can't go because I gotta watch kids. And then they have another one on February 14th, which is a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So I think I'm going to go then and check them out. Probably can't take any video or record anything because of licensing issues. Too bad. But I'm going to try also to hook up with some independent artists and see if I can make a video or record some live. That's the sound of my subway coming. Okay, I'm going to get on the subway, and when I get off, I'll do some reader mail. That'll kill time. Who's behind you and needs to be in front of you and just pushes you out of the way. It doesn't happen a lot. I get mail. Here I am looking at my mail. Trying to figure out which ones to read. And one just came in. So let's look at that one first. It's from Dave. I haven't read this yet, so this is a first for both of us. Comment on your post, nothing special. Interesting how large and diverse your audience is, although you say you have 10,000 listeners. I think for most of us, it feels like a good bud making wry observations about life. Curious how some people pick up on seemingly random observations you make, while others are more interested in the technical aspect of your podcast. Personally, I'm not so interested in issues with your new motherboard, but it's fantastic that you have plenty of guys out there happy to provide advice and commiserate. For me, I completely relate to your life with two boys married to a Japanese woman living and working in the Tokyo. I now live in the Bay Area, two boys, Japanese wife, and commutes are spent listening to CDs or Fresh Air on NPR as I cruise down beautiful Highway 280. You bring me back to the day of packed Chuo line trying to read my folded daily no-yomiuri held above my head. You sound pretty laid back, but there's an edginess in your voice, and your podcasts remind me how exciting, but at the same time stressful it is living there. I never smoked cigs until I moved to Japan, and I would fiendishly puff on the rooftop of my office in Akasaka Mitsuke, looking at the gray sea of buildings and trying to chill out from the frantic pace. Where I'm going with this is that you need not consider talking about more important things. It's all real, and that's how we like it. Okay, good. Yeah, I try not to talk. I'm going through the wind tunnel here, where I usually pause. Yeah, I try not to talk about the technical stuff too much, because I know it's not... It makes people's eyes glaze over. So... Yeah, there is stressful stuff about living here, but, you know, there's stressful stuff about living anywhere, basically. You can blame it on where you are, but really it's just how you react to wherever you are. I'm sure there's people who live here as foreigners and don't stress out about the same things I do or stress about other things that I don't. It all depends on how you look at it, what words you use to describe your situation. So he was talking about how some people pick up on random things. That was one of the mails I was going to read. Let's see. Where the heck did it go? I think it was Shanks. Where's Shanks's mail? Come on, Shanks. Here it is. Okay, Shanks, who's in Malaysia, says, a random question about Japan. I've always been curious about this. Why do some, not all it seems, Japanese doors open outwards? It doesn't spell practical in my book. So how did this come about? Well, you know, being a foreigner living in Japan, I am an expert on doors. And I can tell you that doors open outwards on public buildings because if there's a fire in the inside, you want them, and people are rushing towards the door, you want the doors to open outwards. And it's the same way in America, too. If you go to a store, the doors open outwards. But, like apartment buildings and stuff like that, or if it's a narrow corridor, you don't want your doors opening outwards because you'll knock people in the face. So it's not all doors that open outwards. And I think it's amazing that people will analyze every little tiny aspect of a foreign culture while they overlook everything about their own culture. I mean, can anyone really give me the reason why Westerners shake hands? How did that start about? And there's other ways you can greet. Why shake hands? Or, maybe I mentioned this before, it's holidays. You know, why is it mistletoe that you stand under, and why is it that you kiss under mistletoe? I don't think it's written in the Bible. It wasn't one of the Ten Commandments. So how did that become a Christmas tradition? Or why do we carve jack-o'-lanterns? How did that come about? You don't really think about these things or question them because they just are. And that's the way it is for, I guess, everybody in their own culture. But when you move to a new country and you're like hyper-vigilant about these things that are different, it's almost like being a child again. You know, kids ask all these really annoying questions about everything and know the reason for everything. And you think about it as something unique to children, but it's a human thing. You know, and when you go from one culture to the other and you want to know all the differences, it's like a kid being new to the world and wanting to know why everything works. And it's odd. You can understand where the curiosity comes from when you're an adult, but where does the curiosity come from when there's a kid? I mean, where was he before he was in the world? Where did he come from? But, you know, everybody who comes to Japan asks seemingly stupid questions. But they only seem stupid because there's not things you talk about in normal life. Like, I had a friend who came, and we're on the train from Narita Airport going to Tokyo, and he's looking out at the rice fields. And it was like early or late winter. He's looking out the rice fields and he says, "Do Japanese have winter strains of rice?" And I was like, how the fuck should I know that? What do I look like, an agricultural major? Or my father wanted to know, why is there English all over the place? There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason why you see English all the time, but it's wrong. And I said, because it makes a nice decoration. And he said, no. That can't be the reason. There's got to be another reason. But hey, that's the truth. Makes it look more fancy schmancy or international, I guess. I mean, it's probably the same reason. You know, when you compare writing incorrect English on a sign or writing incorrect English in permanent ink on your skin, I'd rather go for the sign. And I've seen a whole lot of really bad Japanese on people's tattoos. There was a guy on LiveJournal who wrote who posted a message asking, "Hey, I've got this tattoo in Japanese. Could somebody translate it for me?" And he had put a picture of it. And I wrote back. I said, "That's not Japanese, man. That's Klingon. You got a tattoo in Klingon." And boy, was he pissed. He wasn't happy with that answer. But that was the truth. Okay, let's go to another mail. Huh. That's construction on the Iraqi embassy, Tokyo. They're replacing some of the... Oh, they're replacing all the iron bars on the windows and the upper floors because they're all rusted out. All right, hang on here. Okay, this one's marked. Let's see what this one was. This is from Carl. Carl says, "Hey, the podcasts are awesome. Also, how often do you hear about Utada Hikaru? I love her music. Do you think you could do a podcast on her? And do you have any tips on learning to read, write, and speak Japanese?" Well, first of all, Utada Hikaru probably has a whole army of publicists getting her name out. And I don't think she needs my help. And I really couldn't say anything new about her. So I'd much rather spend my time on promoting independent artists and people who really need the help. And, you know, people like Utada Hikaru, yeah, you hear about them all the time. And they suffer from overexposure, just like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. So, yeah, if you want information about already established artists, you're going to have to go somewhere else. That's the way it is. And do you have any tips about learning to read, write, and speak Japanese? Well, if you want to learn to read, I would suggest doing a lot of it and not worrying about understanding every word, just getting the main concepts. And there's some websites that can help you. There's a website that's really good called Rikai.com, Rikai.com. What this site does, it filters a Japanese site. So you give Rikai.com the URL to a page in Japanese, and it will add pop-ups to all the Japanese words. So you put your cursor over a Japanese word, and there's a pop-up definition of the word in English with the pronunciation. So a good way is to read. I like to read a lot of short articles because I don't have a long span of attention. So I like to feed the Google News front page in Japanese through Rikai.com and read that. And just do a little bit a day. And then, if you can get it, manga is good. There used to be a magazine called Manga Jin that used manga to teach Japanese, and that was great. But that was about 10 years ago, and it wasn't successful. But it was one of the best ways I knew to read Japanese. A lot of the Japanese comic books they're written in kanji, but they have furigana next to the kanji. And furigana is for kids, elementary school kids. That you have the kanji, and then there's the pronunciation is written in smaller type font, next to the kanji. So you can know the pronunciation of the kanji that you don't know how to read. And I'll tell you, my 8-year-old Tony goes through a lot of manga, and I found out that he can read a heck of a lot of kanji. Not as much as I can, but he's pretty close. And learning to speak Japanese, you just got to do it, man. You got to just bite the bullet and do it. And don't worry about sounding like a fool, which is very difficult. Just speak as much as you can. If you're taking Japanese lessons and your teacher... If you're taking Japanese lessons and your teacher is speaking English in class, tell him or her to please stop. Because every word matters. I know that from my kids. I'm sure that they're learning every time I speak to them in English, which is why I only speak to them in English. Okay, here's a message from Tokyo Dan. I had said a while ago that I was contacted by the BBC from a program called Music Biz, and they asked me to do a little minute and a half recording for the show, and they would play it about podcasting in Japan, and specifically how it's affecting the music industry. So I did a little recording, and they didn't play it, but what they did play was something from Tokyo Dan, who does the What's Happening in Tokyo podcast. And I had written on my blog that I had seen that they used his instead of mine. So he found that probably through Technorati. He says, I listen to your podcast every so often and I enjoy your sense of humor. I got lucky and got on the BBC World Service, but they cut out my plug of my URL, damn it. I've also got promoed on the DSC, Daily Source Code, twice. But I'm sad to say there hasn't been any slash dot effect. It's really big of you to mention What's Happening in Tokyo, getting on the BBC, and with a link to the BBC, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And I would also make an offer to help you get the word out about Ice Cube. I'd like to use one of their songs on my podcast to help promote them and steer them through the world of podcasting. And if possible, I'd like you to feature a tune from my favorite Japanese band, Daiki and Little Wings, on one of your podcasts. Have you heard them? They're really fantastic. Daiki writes, sings, and plays the guitar. His music is completely original. Please check them out. I think you'll like them. They are on the PodSafe Music Network. I helped him create an account and upload his music. And yesterday he told me he got an order from the USA. What do you think? Well, I am going to play that right now because I'm just about to go into work. So that's the episode for today. And this is Daiki and Little Wings. Enjoy it.
What can I do for you? You are a friend of mine. 心ない言葉とそれが作り上げた世界があなたを責めてもひび割れた橋の上取り残された心が泣いてる